want more. Cooking raw with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to brawl. Hi, my name is Shaquana Hamilton, and welcome to Living in Your Body for Life. Today, we're focusing on environments, asthma, and allergies. Our special guest today is Dr. Leroy Graham, a pediatric pulmonologist from Atlanta, Georgia. Welcome, Dr. Graham. We're delighted to have you with us today. Our first question is, why is asthma more prevalent among African Americans and Hispanics?
Well, I think there's probably a number of reasons. What we find is that many diseases seem to be more common in certain ethnic groups. It probably relates to the type of genes they have. We know, for instance, that asthma and things like hypertension are much more common in blacks, and that probably has to do with their genetic makeup. Similarly, asthma is also increased in Hispanic Americans, probably for the same reason.
What are the environmental causes that trigger asthma?
Well, there's a lot of environmental causes. Probably the most common trigger, and it is part of our environment, is when you catch a viral infection like a cold or something like that. Other triggers that are in our environment include things like dust, things like cigarette smoke, insects, strong odors like perfumes, colognes, cleaning solutions, and many of these triggers are more of a problem for certain people than they are for others, which is why it's very important to know what your triggers are.
Between asthma and allergies?
It's a very good question. Asthma is a disease where the airway is chronically inflamed and irritated. And at the airway, I mean the trachea and all the branches that go out to our lung. And those areas, once irritated or inflamed, are very sensitive, much like a sore on your body. So when they encounter a trigger, they go into spasm, they tighten up, they fill with mucus that gives you the cough and the wheeze. Now, many patients that have asthma have allergies as well. It just means that things that they're allergic to can trigger their asthma. But then there are probably far more people that have allergies. They get a little hay fever symptoms, stuffy nose, watery eyes, sneeze a lot, but they don't have asthma. So you can have both, but it's important to realize that many people with asthma don't have allergies, and many people with allergies don't have asthma.
Dr. Graham, why is asthma so prevalent in Illinois?
Well, it seems like asthma is very prevalent in areas where there is a lot of crowding and often high minority population. So you look at the state of Illinois with a big population center like Chicago, with a lot of people living in close quarters and also a lot of people of color, both African American and Hispanic. And that seems to drive what we call the prevalence, which is how many people have asthma in any given location.
What are the causes of asthma?
We don't know what the causes of asthma are. We think that it's probably a combination of having a genetic or a gene tendency for asthma and very early in life being exposed to certain factors like early viral infection or maybe a family history of, say, asthma or allergies or early exposure, something that with the gene tendency makes you go on and develop asthma.
Dr. Graham, how would you help someone who is having an asthma attack?
I think you could be very helpful to a person who has an asthma attack. By one, knowing that they have asthma. That's why it's important people with any kind of disease let their friends and their family, people that are around them, know about it. But once a person is having an asthma attack, hopefully they have their rescue medicine, a bronchodilator, so you'd encourage them to take it. If you're in an environment where you can ask for help, you go ahead and encourage that patient to take their medicine, but tell someone else to go for help, okay? Also, things that are non-medical are having the patient relax, concentrate on easy, deep breathing, okay? And really look and see if they're in some kind of environment where they're being exposed to their trigger and get them out of it. But the first thing and the most important thing that saves lives is having their rescue medication readily available to them.
What advice can you give us about daily activities to a person with asthma?
Well, I think daily activities, the goal of asthma therapy is to be able to have a completely normal life. So I don't restrict daily activities, but I tell people that once they know what their triggers are, they should avoid them to the extent they can. Don't smoke, don't be around people that smoke, cut down on the cologne and perfume use, and not expose you to things that you know will make your asthma worse. But most importantly, take your medicine.
How would you know if someone's asthma is out of control?
Well, the symptoms of asthma vary from person to person, but typically we see cough, we see wheezing, which is a high-pitched, almost like a cat cry that comes out when you're breathing. Sometimes just chest tightness, not being able to get enough air out or get enough air in with normal activities. Sometimes what we find is that patients who are having pretty significant symptoms are so used to their asthma being poorly controlled that they don't recognize those symptoms. But you should be able to do whatever you want to do without any shortness of breath, without any sensation of tightness in your chest, without a cough every day. Something as simple as, do you cough every day? Normally you shouldn't have to cough every day. Wheezing is another important symptom. How would you know if you're wheezing? Sometimes different people describe it different ways, but sometimes it's just hearing this kind of high pitched or like a squeak as you breathe out, you breathe in, and it may not be that loud, but something that you might be able to hear in your ears. Sometimes people will describe it, it's a little tighter when I breathe out, like a, it's hard to get air out, because what's happening is those airways are closing down and it makes it difficult for the air to pass through. Some patients just feel tight. They feel like there's a squeezing sensation in their chest. Some people will only have these symptoms when they get excited, they get frightened by something, or they try and run up and down stairs in between classes. You might find that that's when you have those symptoms.
Can one outgrow asthma?
Well, you know, that's another very interesting question. It used to be thought that children often outgrew their asthma, but some recent scientific studies show that probably less than 1 in 4 people actually outgrow their asthma as determined by never ever having any asthma symptoms. Most people find that their asthma will change, sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better, as they get older. So I'm more likely to tell patients, expect that you're going to have asthma, but if you affect good control, if you establish good control, it's not going to interfere with your life, and don't assume that it's just going to go away. Work with your doctor. Your doctor should be able to do lung tests and see how you're doing. Let them determine what medicine you need. You may find as you grow older that you don't need as much medicine to take care of the asthma, but really, asthma probably never really goes away.
How would someone get a spacer?
Okay, well, there's lots of different types of asthma medication. There are some medications you take just by mouth, but most of them are inhalers. And if your inhaler is the type called a metered dose inhaler or a pump, it's very important to use what's called a spacer device. And that is a device between the end of your inhaler and your mouth, because that lets the medicine go into the inhaler and then you gradually breathe it into your body. And that lets the medicine get in much more effectively than just cramming a thing in your mouth, sucking on it and blowing it, because most of it winds up inside your mouth and never gets in your lungs. So that's the thing that you as a friend can say, you know, you see a friend taking an inhaler and just kind of sticking in their mouth, you know, that medicine's really not getting in your lungs where it needs to work. So a spacer is very important. Other medications sometimes have what's called an auto inhaler, and those are made to be put in your mouth. But the most common inhalers that we use are metered dose inhalers, and they should be used with a spacer device to make sure that the medicine gets into your lungs.
What would be a good asthma maintenance program?
A good maintenance asthma program, and maintenance meaning that's something that you take every day, is medicines that you take that controls your asthma by decreasing, if not eliminating, you having asthma attacks. And typically, that's a combination of a medication called an inhaled steroid, and examples of that are drugs like Flovent or Qvar. And sometimes that'll be combined with another kind of medication, which is called a leukotriene modifier, and those are drugs like Singulair. Other drugs that might be a component of a maintenance therapy are combination therapies that put together an inhaled steroid and a long-acting bronchodilator. An example of that might be Advair. But the basic type of an asthma maintenance therapy should be an anti-inflammatory agent, an inhaled steroid with or without a leukotriene modifier. And basically what that does is controls the inflammation in your lungs so your lungs are not so sensitive to wind up in an attack when you get into a trigger situation. A lung function test is a test administered by your doctor to really determine how well your lungs are working. When you have asthma, it is important to have that kind of test 2 to 3 times a year. Sometimes when you think your asthma is doing well, the lung function may show that you're not doing as well. Many people don't recognize their asthma symptoms. Therefore, it's very important to get some type of measurement that gives an objective or a scientific picture of how well the lungs are doing. This is another thing that someone with asthma can do to make sure that they're getting good care. You should go to your doctor and say, hey, you know, I understand I have asthma. I think I need lung function testing. And that goes back to the fact that you have the asthma. It is important for you to know what you should get in terms of your care. And you have a partnership with your doctor in making sure that your asthma does well.
Is there any other information you can give us about asthma?
Well, I think one, everybody should, that has asthma or has a family member should know as much as they can about asthma so that they're aware, so that they know that asthma, well controlled, can be associated with a totally normal lifestyle. And that includes playing sports. In fact, being in good physical shape can help control your asthma along with medication. People should also know that the fact that you have asthma need not limit what you want to do in terms of athletics, in terms of schoolwork, and that having asthma, you should expect to be able to go to school every day, to be able to work every day, and to lead a full life. And the proof of that is we have many athletes like Jerome Bettis in football, like Dominique Wilkins in basketball, Jackie Joyner Kersee, probably arguably the best women's athlete of our time. All of these people had asthma and they didn't let asthma conquer them. They took control, they became knowledgeable about their disease, and they had normal and very productive lives doing everything that they wanted to do.
Lastly, is there anything else you would like to tell our viewers?
I think particularly when we talk about young people of color, we need to realize that though African Americans make up only 12% of the American population, we unfortunately account for 25% of the asthma deaths. If you're an African American male between the ages of 5 and 34, you have almost a 6 times greater chance of dying from asthma than your white counterpart. It's very important that we as people of color learn everything we can about diseases that affect us perhaps worse than others. And we need to take control. And control means knowing about your disease and walking into your doctor knowing what you should expect from care. And I always give the example that if you had a car and the car made a clunk and you took it to a mechanic and you drove away and it still clunked, you'd have no problem coming right back and getting in that mechanic's face. Well, if you've got asthma and you're seeing a doctor and you're getting medicine and you're not feeling better and you can't do all the things that you want, you need to talk to your doctor about that. You need to tell him this is what you expect from asthma care. Being respectful, but you should expect no time missed from school or work. You should find no flare-ups that take you to the hospital. You should expect not to have to be hospitalized from your asthma. And you should expect to be able to do everything that you want to do. The medicines that we have for asthma combined with good education and good avoidance of asthma triggers make it possible for the vast majority, if not all asthmatics, to have a completely normal lifestyle. But you have to know about your disease, you have to take control, and you have to take your medicine every day.
Dr. Graham. Thank you for being here with us to give us this valuable information about asthma and allergies. Tune in for our next show, Stuck on It, which is about addictions. Tune in off Shaquana Hamilton.
Bring them back to the stage. Stay home. Come on, say it.